the cross by using an illustration of a small seed. It's tiny. You could say that it was worthless, unimportant, insignificant. And yet locked within that seed is the potential to grow. That seed has energy and power within it, which should not be despised. And think of the kingdom as being a little like that. And the acts of the kingdom being like that, having potential and power, enormous significance locked away in a tiny, tiny capsule. Think of the kingdom when Jesus was speaking. He would have been surrounded by the might and power of Rome, an occupying force. And when Jesus used the word kingdom, people might easily have thought of the kingdom in terms of a great structure of authority and power, in terms of land and conquest. And I think often we have thought of kingdom in those kinds of terms also. We think of the United Kingdom. We think of the empire. And lots of times when people have spoken of the kingdom of God, they've gone into that kind of thinking. Crusades, spreading the English concept of gospel abroad. And I use the illustration in our Bible notes about that hymn, "The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, Is Ended," and how it talks about the voice of prayer never being silenced as the kingdom grows. And it has this idea of the kingdom as being the church, and the church is growing. And lots of times people have equated God's kingdom with the church. I don't think that's true at all. I was reading William Barclay speaking on this passage of the mustard seed, and a brilliant commentator, absolutely brilliant. But he saw God's kingdom in terms of the world. And the kingdom is growing means that the world is getting a better place. And he used the illustration of prison reform and how prisons were really terrible and they were getting better and so the world was getting a better place. I don't see that as being true either at all. Jesus, when he spoke to Pilate, said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so kingdom isn't the church and it isn't the world itself. It isn't our country. The kingdom is something which goes on deep inside our hearts. And we're going to sing a hymn today, and I don't think we've ever sung this. And I know that some clergy around the country really object to it being sung. I read once that a clergyman had banned it from a wedding. It's in the hymn book. It's in lots of hymn books. "I Vow to Thee My Country." Now, the first verse is a bit dodgy. "I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above, entire and whole and perfect, the service of my love." People take great exception to that. It sounds a bit nationalistic. Although, sometimes I think we've gone off the other end of the scale, because now no one cares about anyone but themselves. And the idea of thinking of other people in our community, in our society, and sacrificing ourselves for others is completely out in many people's minds. It's not a bad verse if you take it to mean thinking of other people and giving ourselves to others in lots of different ways. But it's the second verse which I really think has got an understanding of what kingdom really is all about. And it could have been written for this mustard seed parable. You see, it says, "There's another country I've heard of long ago, most dear to them that love her, most great to them that know." Let's think of that as being God's kingdom. We may not count her armies, because of course there's no armies in God's kingdom. We may not see her king because we can't see God. Her fortress is a faithful heart. That's what the kingdom is. Her pride is suffering. Not in terms of human standards of what greatness and kingdom is all about. And soul by soul, the kingdom grows. The kingdom exists amongst those people who acknowledge the king. It's about the area of God's reign and dominance and authority. And soul by soul and silently. You know, you plant a seed in the ground, you can't even see it growing at first. And if you watch something grow, you can't see it grow. I'm always amazed, you know, you come back off your holidays, and the garden's gone bonkers. You think, where's it all? How's all this happened? You know, where's it all come from? Your grass is up to your knees, your shrubs and things that you didn't know you had have taken over the place, and you've got to go and spend a week getting it right again. But you, if you watched it grow, if you stayed at home for that week, you wouldn't see anything happen. But when you come back, you see the difference and the change that's taken place. It's happened silently, but significantly. So soul by soul, and silently, her shining bounds increase. And the ways of the kingdom are ways of gentleness, and her paths are peace. Oh, this is a great verse. And what a shame that we never sing it. So if we just kind of twist the hymn around a little bit and put this spin on it, it makes a lot of sense. So the kingdom and this teaching about the kingdom should inspire us this morning. It should encourage us, because we can know that the kingdom isn't judged by how big the church is getting. The kingdom isn't about numbers. There's two ministers go to a fraternal, and one minister says to the other minister, how's things going in church? The minister says, oh, it's great, great, great. Seeing growth. Because we're all about growth. And he says, and how's things going in your church? He goes, revival. He goes, hallelujah, praise the Lord. How's it going? He says, oh, we've got real revival. How many numbers? He says, we lost six. How you judge can be different in terms of success. We should be encouraged, because the kingdom isn't about the church getting big. And we should be inspired, because we can know that even the little tiny things that we do have a significance in God's economy. We should never despise the small word of comfort. The telephone call to someone who's a member of the scheme just to say you're all right. Quick word of encouragement to someone who's done the prayers beautifully in the morning and not too long. Just those little things which can make a difference. These should inspire us and encourage us. A lovely illustration which I'll leave you with, because I can't preach for too long because it's a communion service. But I'll just leave you with a little illustration. And take this picture away in your minds. An illustration of the kingdom of God and how it grows. Imagine a circle drawn on the ground. The center of the circle is God, and the outside of the circle is the world. And leading from the edge of the circle to the center, like spokes on a wheel, are lines. And these lines are the paths which we follow to draw closer to God. The lives of the saints, as we seek to live our lives by God's ways, paths of gentleness and kindness and faithfulness, and all the things we've spoken about. Those are the lines that we advance along towards God. And as we advance along those lines, the closer we get to God, the closer we grow to one another. The nearer our union with God, the nearer our union with one another. And that's how the kingdom grows. Amen.
Come now to our very short